Him. Recognizing a godly man, our text, you may have guessed, are those two verses 9 and 10 regarding this man, Jabez. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Here we are introduced to a man called Jabez. After reading through this chapter to the verse 10, we have mentioned about 40 names. And you will see from the opening verse that the chapter is dealing with the sons of Judah. The sons of Judah. So Jabez was a man of the line of Judah. We find also that he was a man who was associated with sorrow. We read that in the verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Indeed, when we look at his name, the name Jabez means sorrowful. Now, when we put these two facts about Jabez together, we are reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Revelation 5, verse 15, that the Lord was of the lion of the tribe of Judah. So like Jabez, the Lord was of the line of Judah. We know also from the words of the prophet Isaiah that our dear Lord was a man of sorrow, one who was acquainted with grief. And here we can see Jabez as a type of Christ. Here was a man who would certainly remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would recognize Jabez as a godly man, being a Christ-like man. Isn't that the testimony that every believer surely wants to have? That is, when others meet us, they will see Christ in us. When others speak about it, they will say, that is a godly man, or that is a godly woman. Such was Jabez. He was not only a man of God, he was a godly man. So I want to look at this man, this Christ-like individual. And may it stir us up to pray, Lord, make me more like my Savior. Make me more Christ-like. First thing I want us to notice here is the recognizing of Jabez. Recognizing of Jabez. If you were told to go and meet someone, maybe outside a store or at the railway station or at the airport, and you never met him before, well, you would obviously say, well, how can I recognize him? And we're given a description of that person to help us recognize that person. And we're given a description here of this man, Jabez, even though there's very little said about him other than what we have in these two verses. But the first description we have of him is his prominence. That's what we're told in the verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. So there's his prominence. He was more honorable than his brethren. The word honorable there is a word that means weighty. It means to get honor. And this word is the opposite to someone who is light. The way you may talk to someone, oh, he's light. He doesn't have a great deal of sense. You say he's light. Well, that certainly wasn't Jabez. He was more honorable. He was a man who carried weight, as it were. Here was a man who was set apart from his brethren. He was more honorable than his brethren. This would remind us again of the Lord Jesus Christ. For if it could be said of anyone, it can certainly be said of Christ. He was more honorable than his brethren. Just as Paul said of the Savior, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. That certainly would set Christ apart from his brethren. And so we see here the prominence of Jabez among his brethren. But what was it? What was it that made him so prominent? What was it that set him apart and made him more honorable than his brethren? Well, we've already indicated quite a number of names are found there, even in the portion we read. There's nothing said about any of them until we come to Jabez. And we're told he was more honorable than his brethren. Why was he more honorable? Well, we have noted his prominence. He was more honorable. And what was it that made him more honorable? Surely it was his praying. It was his praying. Basically, this is the only thing that's said about Jabez. He was a man of prayer. For there we read in the verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Would that not set him apart amongst all the other names? We don't read of anyone else praying. All the other names, that's all we're given, is their name. But no mention of any of them praying, except Jabez. And here's Jabez, a man who called on the name of the God of Israel. And surely that's what sets a man apart. They are men of prayer. That's how this man, Jabez, was recognized. He was recognized as a man of prayer. And being a man of prayer, he was recognized as a man of God. More prominent than his brethren, because Jabez was a man of prayer. If we're not recognized by anything else or for anything else, wouldn't it be good? It would be recognized as men and women of prayer. That's what would set us apart. He was more honorable than his brethren because he was a man of prayer. But wait, that in itself makes him Christ-like. You think of the Lord Jesus. No one prayed as Christ prayed. No one prayed as often as the Lord Jesus prayed. We read of the Lord, Luke 6 and verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went up into a mountain to pray. How long did he pray? He went up into a mountain to pray, and we're told he continued all night in prayer. That makes the Lord Jesus more honorable than his brethren. We read much about the disciples, but we never read of any of them spending all night in prayer. In fact, when the Lord called upon them to pray, there he was in Gethsemane's garden. And he called upon them to pray with them. Watch with me. He wanted them to pray with them. And yet they fell asleep. The Lord said, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" But here is Christ. And he prayed all night. You recall over in Luke chapter 11, where we read the Lord was praying in a certain place. We're not told where. That tells us it was a secret place. He was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray." I want you to notice something there. Those words are often misquoted. The disciple didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Lord, teach us to pray." The meaning there is that the disciples had come upon the Lord when he was praying, and they stood there. Rather than interrupt him, they stood listening to the Savior pray. And when he ceased, they then asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." In other words, those disciples stood listening to Christ pray. And as they listened and listened, they realized they didn't know anything about prayer at all. That's why they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." We don't know anything about prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Do you ever wonder how the Lord prayed, what he sounded like? Well, we're maybe given a little indication here in Luke 11, because we're told that he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, as I say, the disciples didn't interrupt him. When he ceased, then they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." That word "cease" is found over in Mark chapter 4. At the end of that chapter, we read about the disciples being in a ship, remember? And the Lord asleep. A great storm arose. The disciples went to the Lord and awoke him, saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" What a terrible thing to say to the Lord. No one cared for those disciples more than Christ. But the Lord, we're told, he rose up and he rebuked the wind and he rebuked the storm. And we're told the wind ceased. It's the same word that we have in Luke 11 and verse 1. And that tells me how the Savior prayed. There in that secret place, he prayed up a storm, if you like. We may have the idea that the Savior almost nearly whispered his prayer. No doubt there were times he did that. But there were other times when he really prayed and prayed up a storm. That appears to be how he prayed that day when the disciples came upon him. And then they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Even as John taught his disciples. So we see then, this is what set Jabez apart. He was a man of prayer, a man of God, as well as his prominence and his praying. We notice his parents. We're told something about his mother. His father is not mentioned, but his mother is referred to. Now, we're not given her name, but his mother was the one who gave him the name Jabez. Indeed, we are told she gave him that name in verse 9. And this is in keeping with what God told Eve. She called Jabez, was given the name, as we've already pointed out, it means sorrowful, because she had borne him in sorrow. This is in keeping with what we read in Genesis 3:16, where the Lord told Eve that in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. That's what the Lord told Eve. But look at what we have here regarding the sorrow of the mother of Jabez. Eve was told, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. But here we read in verse 9 that she called him Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. That's different. That is different. She bore him with sorrow. And so, his mother had some sorrow upon her heart. She was sorrowful over something. Perhaps, we don't know this, of course, but perhaps her husband had died a short time before. Because it's always the father who named the child. But here, on this occasion, she named her son. It tells me then that Jabez's father was not around. Perhaps he had passed away, and that was the reason for her sorrow. I have borne him with sorrow. She gave him the name. We think of whenever the Christ child was about to come into the world, the angel spoke to Joseph and said to Joseph, thou shall call his name Jesus. Not Mary wouldn't name him. Joseph would give the child the name. So it was with the birth of John the Baptist. For there we read in Luke 1, verse 13, the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shall call his name John. So we can see from those references, it was the father who named the child. But not in the case of Jabez. It was his mother that named him, and she named him Jabez. Why? Because she says, I have borne him with sorrow. Perhaps it's something similar to what we read about Rachel. There in Genesis 35 and verse 17, there we read, it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin Benoni. Benoni means son of my sorrow. So perhaps this was the reason for the mother of Jabez to name her son and give him that name. Now, we're not told the cause of the sorrow. We're only surmising that's what it was. It was some secret sorrow. I mean, you think of it. She gave her son a name that means sorrowful, which means Every time his name would be called. Every time his mother would call out Jabez, she would be reminded of the sorrow that she endured and she felt. And it meant that every time someone else called his name, he was reminded of that sorrow also. It was as if everywhere he went, sorrow accompanied him through his name. Here it brings us back again to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, as we know, is the man of sorrow, and he is acquainted with grief. And sure we know, we look at the public ministry of the Savior. You read through the Gospels, and everywhere the Lord went, he came face to face with sorrow. He beheld the sorrows of the sick, the sorrows of the suffering, the sorrows of those who sorrowed themselves. You think of different individuals and how they sorrowed. And the Lord could sympathize with them. Why? Because he was a man of sorrow. You recall that day. He stood before the sepulchre, the tomb of Lazarus. And he stood there and he looked at Mary. And Mary wept. And the dear Savior, we're told, he wept also. He's a man who's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He's touched. That word touch means he enters into. You go up to someone who's maybe lost a loved one. And your heart goes out to them. You put your arm around them. And you say, brother, sister, I'm very sorry for what has happened. I'll be praying for you. But that's as far as we can go. We wish we could do more. But the Lord is the one who's able to do more. And he's able to go further. Because he's touched. The word touch means he enters into the feelings of our infirmity. He enters into them. In other words, our sorrows are his sorrows. Our tears are his tears. Our heartache is his heartache. He identifies with us. And how often during his public ministry did he identify with those who had many sorrows? He's the man of sorrows. The one who's acquainted with grief, bless his name. As well as recognizing of Jabez, I want you to notice the requests of Jabez. We come to what Jabez actually prayed for. And when we look at his prayer requests, they tell us much more about the man himself. This godly man and how we can recognize him. Notice first of all his plea. We have seen how prayer set Jabez apart, made him more honorable than his brethren. But here in verse 10 we read, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Here's his plea. Here was a man who waited for the blessing of the God of Israel. Here was a man who wanted the blessing of God upon him and upon all that he had. Jabez knew that that could only be experienced through prayer. Through prayer. Bless me indeed, was his cry. And we can see how desperate he was for God to bless him. bless me indeed. He was pleading for the Lord to bless him. It's not mentioned here in what area he wanted blessed, other than he wanted his land, his area, his territory to be blessed. And so it is when we come to seek the Lord to bless us. It's always good to mention what area of our lives we want the Lord to bless us in. Not just in a general way, but be focused in what we want God to bless. Lord, bless my family. Lord, bless my son. Bless my daughter. Bless my church. Lord, bless my witness to the world. He was desiring. He was pleading. Lord, bless me indeed. How desirous then are we for the blessing of God? Remember Jacob? Jacob cried out, not until thou bless me will I let thee go. I'll not let thee go, Lord, until thou bless me. Friend of mine back in Northern Ireland had an only daughter. She was about 10 years of age. She had a particular skin problem. It meant her mother had to change the bedclothes every morning and hoover the floor as the skin peeled off this young girl. She'd seen many doctors, many specialists, and taken quite a lot of different medicines. Until her mom and dad came to a point where they said, we just couldn't take it anymore. Something had to be done. And one night, when they put their daughter to bed, her mother and father got down on their knees and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed all night that God in mercy would heal their daughter of this skin problem she had. You know something? God answered their prayer. God answered their prayer. And that child was cured of that skin problem. Why? Because they were desperate for the Lord to heal their child. And that desperation was seen in the fact they prayed all night. That's how Jabez prayed. As well as his plea, we notice his place. Wherever Jabez resided, he prayed, Lord, enlarge my coast. It's interesting that Jabez just requested that the God of Israel would bless him indeed. But he didn't stop there. You look at the verse 10. The number of times he used the word and. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. So Jabez didn't ask for one thing. He believed that whatever he asked for, God could give it to him. God would answer prayer. Caleb cried, give me this mountain. You think of Solomon and how Solomon prayed. We read in 2 Chronicles, and there in chapter 1 and verse 7, in that night did God appear unto Solomon, said unto him, ask, but I shall give thee. See, we see the willingness of God to give us what we ask. Ask what I shall give thee. And you go down the chapter to verse 11. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. But we notice what God did. Solomon simply asked for wisdom. But then we're told what God did. The next verse, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there say any after thee have the like. In other words, God is a giving God. Out of the infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth, and he giveth again. Isn't that the truth that Paul delivered to the believers in Ephesus? For in Ephesians 3, there in verse 20, now unto him that is able, praise the Lord, he's able. We come to a God who is able. And what Jabez asked for, God was able to give it to him, and more. Paul says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's a giving God. Praise his holy name. He'll give and he'll give and he'll give again. And Jabez knew that, and Jabez believed that. For Jabez said to the God of Israel, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thy hand would be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. That's how you recognize a man of God. You recognize it there in Jabez, as well as his plea and his place. We notice the presence. Notice what he asked for. Again, something that sets Jabez apart as a true, godly, spiritual, holy man. Jabez went on to plead with the God of Israel, saying, and that thy hand might be with me. Having the hand of God with him in all his travels, having the hand of God with him as he toiled in the fields, having the hand of God with him in his troubles would be a great comfort to him. See how Jabez was thinking. Wanted the hand of God to be with him at all times. So with the hand of omnipotence with him, he had nothing to fear. He had nothing to fear. With the hand of God with him, he would be able to do what he needed to do and whatever God had called upon him to do. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 173, psalmist said, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. You read through the book of Ezra and underline the number of times you come across the words, according to the good hand of the Lord upon me. According to the good hand of the Lord upon me. In other words, all that Ezra did in his work in the temple he was able to do it according to the good hand of the Lord upon him. That's what Jabez wanted. He needed the Lord's hand upon him to lift him whenever he was down. He needed the hand of the Lord upon him when he was going through difficult times. So we have seen then, as well as his plea, his place, his presence, we see his piety. Look at his piety there in that verse 10. We see just how spiritually minded this man Jabez was. We note what he prayed for next. He prayed, "And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, that thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." So here we see that Jabez was, first of all, regarding his piety, he was a spiritual man. He was a spiritual man. Didn't he pray that he would not, that he would be kept from evil? Isn't that exactly what the Lord taught his disciples to pray? Certainly, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. That's the very thing the Lord taught his disciples, teaches us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, lo and behold, that's what Jabez prayed. That thy Lord would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Oh, how many think to pray those words. If we pray as the Lord instructed us to pray, and even as Jabez prayed, it will be a sign. Listen, it will be a sign of our spirituality. Because no spiritual person wants anything to do with that which is evil. We notice not only regarding his piety was he a spiritual man, he was a sensitive man. Because he prayed to his God, "Keep me from evil that it may not grieve me." That's a sign of a spirituality. "Keep me from evil that it might not grieve me." And to a spiritual man, sin is grievous. A person who's not so spiritual can be out in the world, hear the language of the world, participate in the behavior of the world, and it doesn't bother them, doesn't trouble them. They're not grieved. That was not Jabez. "Keep me from evil that it might not grieve me." I don't want to be grieved. I don't want to mess out with God. I don't want to be in a place where I'm tempted and yield to salvation or to temptation. Again, the Apostle Paul, over in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, there verse 24. "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And then down at verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." That's was something Jabez didn't want to do. He didn't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. He didn't want to grieve the Lord. And so what was his prayer? That thine hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil. May that be our prayer. May we endeavor to be like Jabez. Better still, may we endeavor to be like Christ. We've looked at the recognizing of Jabez, the request of Jabez, to have the response to Jabez. What was the response? And God granted him that which he requested. I tell you, he's a giving God. He'll give, and he'll give, and he'll give again. So let us, like Jabez, know what it is to seek the face of God and to pray as Jabez prayed, enlarge my coast, and that thy hand would be with me, and that thy wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. God answered. God answered. And God has the ability to answer. Dear brothers and sisters, let us take to heart what the Lord has taught us about Jabez. Let us be men and women of prayer like Jabez. And boy, you never know what the Lord will do for us. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll have our closing piece now, and then I'll close with prayer. We'll just have a closing word of prayer. O loving and eternal Father, pray thou would apply thy precious word to our hearts. O Lord, lead us throughout this day. This is the Lord's day. May we continue, Lord, like John on the Isle of Patmos, who was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Be with all thy people there, we pray in Cloverdale. Keep thy hand upon them for good. And dear Lord, be pleased to meet with us again this evening around thy holy word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.